Father, we come to praise you this morning. All your works praise your name. For you are good and you are holy and you are righteous. We thank you, God, and we give you praise. We ask that you'd speak to us now of eternal things. Teach us what it means to be your sons and your daughters in this world. We pray that you teach us what it means to be salt and light, God, to those we love and those we live among. Show us the heights and the depths and the length and the breadth of your great love for us. Do in us and through us far more than we could ever ask or imagine, all for the sake of your kingdom, all for the sake of your glory, God. Do it in the matchless name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and have a seat, friends. Thanks, team. I'm going to begin with a little bit of a confession this morning. I had a heck of a week. Woke up Monday morning, and one of my girls was sick. She ended up being out of school 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Really made her anxious because of how far you get behind, right, when you're missing school. And around about the time she was getting better, the other twin went down, right? And she also missed school with a migraine, too, also felt the anxiety. And of course, when they feel anxious, right, as a parent, you're right in it with them, right? I mean, you're having a lot of hard conversations and trying to keep them calm, trying to comfort them. And some of those conversations went pretty deep into the night. And so my wife and I didn't get much sleep. And then my son hit a pothole coming home from work. Hit it so hard, did some damage to his tire, so we had to take that car into the shop. Found out there was a lot more wrong with it, so they needed to keep it for a couple of days. He took the second car to work the next day. After getting home late, after hanging out with some friends after work, he left the headlights on. It's an older car, so the lights didn't turn off when he turned off the key, so the battery died. It's an older battery, so when I tried to jump it in the morning, it wouldn't hold a charge. All right, so car number two is down, so he took the third car to work. And on the way, got hit by an uninsured driver. Luckily, the damage wasn't terrible. No one was hurt. He could still drive the car. But when he called me, he was almost in tears. He's like, "Dad, I am having a terrible week." And I said, "You are not the only one, man." Called my wife to tell her what happened. She broke down in tears. Me being the sensitive husband that I am, said, "Honey, God won't give us any more than we can handle." She didn't think that was too funny. She's pulling double duty herself as she works full-time and gets her master's in social work. Then you layer in all the pastoral work that I've been engaged in, caring for families who are just going through so much as they process the grief and the loss and the trauma the past couple of years, working with couples whose marriages are really struggling because they can't seem to find a way to communicate to one another in a way they can understand and hear each other, walking alongside parents whose children are breaking down mentally and emotionally and physically from all the stress and anxiety they're carrying. It is heartbreaking. It is a heavy, heavy season right now. And then I'm down at FECA talking with lots of folks, as you know, about, you know, the state of our nation and the state of our, you know, state and the state of our community and some of the recent decisions and how difficult that is. And we're just so divided. And it's hurting relationships, and people are losing close friendships as a result of it. It's just terrible. We don't seem to know how to listen to each other anymore. Much less try and understand where each other's coming from. We're so quick to judge and so quick to think the worst and so quick to label and dismiss and dehumanize. It's just so sad. It really is. So I'm sitting in my office and I'm beginning to pull the sermon together for today with all this stuff kind of running in the background when I get that call from my son about, you know, getting in the accident, and it was like the final straw. And I could feel the anger. I don't know where you feel your anger. I feel it right down here. That's where it starts. And it starts moving up and moving up. And I've done this long enough, right, that I know that if it gets about right here, I'm going to blow, right? There's a point of no return, all right? And I can feel it creeping up. And I look down at my Bible app, which I literally had just opened to Ephesians 3, and I read these words. "May he grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and you remain rooted and grounded in his love." It was awesome. It was like the pressure just released and all the anxiety I was feeling and the stress began to ease up and that feeling of anger just kind of washed away almost immediately. And, you know, that's what happens when we get back in touch with Christ. Amen? Yeah. And that's what happens when you remember you are loved with an everlasting love. And that's what happens when you remember that the one who promises to do more than you could ever ask or imagine has shown up on the scene. That you're not alone in all of this mess. And He's with you every step of the way. God had was letting me know He was with me right there in that moment. He had been with me all week. He had been with me as I fielded every phone call and every text and every email and every DM. He had been with me in every conversation as I tried to listen and point people, you know, no matter where they stood politically or socially, point them to Christ. And He had been with me as I held my sick daughter's hand for over an hour the previous night. And He had been with me when I tried to comfort my poor son who's having that bad week. And He was with me when I made that phone call to my wife. And his life was intertwined with mine, and so I didn't need to be afraid, and I didn't need to be anxious, and I didn't need to be defensive, and I didn't need to feel threatened, and I didn't have to have all the answers. I wasn't in control. My job was simply to bow the knee before my Father and trust Him to do the work. Amen? Yeah. That's what it's all about. Why don't you open up your Bibles or Bible apps today to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21. Okay, it's the end of the chapter. And for those of you who may be new to the Bible or maybe just tuning in for the first time, Ephesians is one of several letters written by an early follower of Jesus, a guy by the name of Paul. And he wrote these letters to churches that he had planted all throughout the Roman Empire. Now, life in the first century was obviously very much different than it is in 21st century America. People in those days spent their entire lives living in the same homes, on the same streets, in the same neighborhoods, with the same people, so they really understood community. I mean, their lives got intertwined with one another over generations, okay? And again, that's really hard for us to understand because we live in a highly mobile, highly individualistic society where you, at best you might live next to neighbors for a year or two and then they're gone or you're gone or whatever it might be. We even live disconnected from our families in some sense. So I want to give you an analogy that I hope is helpful as we kind of dive into the text this morning. Check out this picture here. So these are known as live oaks. I don't know if y'all know what live oaks are. They grow down south, and this is from our time in Mobile, Alabama. This is Spring Hill College, kind of the main drag there. They're beautiful. We see them all over the place when you live down there. They're amazing. They stand for hundreds of years, okay? They withstand hurricanes. And all these other storms. And when other trees, like pine trees and other trees, get twisted up and torn from the ground and thrown like missiles into homes and all kinds of stuff, these things stay rooted in the earth. Saw this with my own eyes after Hurricane Katrina. We were driving over to Mississippi, and as we drove into, I think it was Biloxi. Show that next picture, Anne-Marie. We drive into Biloxi, and we see this. This is a casino that had been sitting in the Gulf. And the water and the wind tossed that thing across Highway 90 into the city itself. It was just crazy. And here we are driving through. It's like a bomb has gone off, right? Homes scraped from their foundations and cars thrown everywhere. And again, casinos thrown across highways, that kind of thing. But those live oaks remained. Now, how is that possible? It's because of their root system. They have a very unique root system. They spread their roots out. They don't go deep. They go wide. They go wide and they intertwine their roots with the roots of the trees next to them. And because they're connected together, because their roots are intertwined with all the other roots, that's how they stand. Because they're not trying to stand alone. And that's what allows them to endure even the fiercest of storms. And that's what Paul's going to talk about in our passage today. No matter how hard the trial, no matter how strong the storm, no matter how deep the suffering, if you have your roots intertwined with Christ and with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will stand. You will stand. All right, now I want to say that again because this is so important, right, for us to hear and understand. And again, our highly mobile, highly individualistic society where every man's an island and, right, we're supposed to, you know, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and do this thing on our own and all that other business, right? Hard to build community, hard to build these deep relationships to put down deep roots, all right? If you have intertwined your life with Christ and with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will stand. That's God's promise, and His promise is sure. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, well, let's go through the passage, all right? Let me show you what I mean. Verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, before whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There are three principles in the time we've got remaining that I just want to unpack for us this morning from these verses. These three principles will help you intertwine your life with Christ and with each other. And I believe these principles will help us stay rooted and grounded in love, no matter what storms may come in the days ahead. And the first principle is this: self-emptying. Self-emptying. You see, in order to receive the gift that God promises in this passage, which is the fullness of God himself, all right, you have to first empty yourself. Right? If you don't leave any space for God to come in, he can't fill you with his fullness. So you've got to empty yourself. You've got to approach the throne of grace with humility. You've got to bow the knee like Paul before the Father. Now, how do we do that? That's not something we do naturally. How do we empty ourselves? Well, the first thing we do is we submit to the Word of God. We take every thought captive to Christ. We run every word, every deed, every emotion, every feeling through the grid of the gospel. See, the true test of humility is what you do when you are confronted with the truth of God's Word. Do you find yourself trying to bend that truth to your reality, to your circumstances, right? To your life situation? Do you try and use God's truth to prop up a particular political or social ideology, or maybe your own personal agenda? That's pride, friends. That's pride. It's a sure sign you are still too full of yourself. Okay? Now, humility means submitting our will to God's will. It means bending our reality, our circumstances, our life situation, our truth to God's truth. It means surrendering all that we may hold dear, trusting that what God has to say is truer than what I may be feeling, what I may be thinking, what I may be doing in a given moment. Let me give you a couple of examples just to drive home the point. What do you do with the words of Jesus when he says, love your enemies? Love your enemies. What do you do with that? What do you do when he says, love those essentially who are not like you? Love those who are different than you? Love those who look differently than you, spend money differently than you, vote differently than you? What do? Do you ignore those words? Do you pretend like they don't exist? You try and explain them away? Try and justify your pride by bending God's truth to your reality? Or will you humble yourself and allow the unconditional love of Christ to flow through you, even to those with whom you may be at odds? Right? That's emptying oneself, friends. Think about that the next time you feel tempted to blast something out on social media. All right? Love your enemies. Or what about forgiveness? What do you do with the words of Jesus when he says, we are to forgive 70 times 7? All right? Now, that doesn't mean 490, by the way. All right? Because some of you I know are counting. You're like, I'm at 489, and they got one more shot, right? And no. It means you forgive as many times as it takes. Are you willing to offer forgiveness to those who hurt you? To those who betrayed you? To those who've abandoned you? Are you willing to forgive those that you live with, those that you worship with, those that you work with? Are you willing to forgive those who let you down, those who disappoint you, those who never seem to live up to your expectations? Or do you justify your pain, hold a grudge, keep a record of wrongs, all in the name of self-protection and healthy boundaries and, you know, cutting toxic people out of your life? You do realize Jesus never cut anyone off. Jesus met with Pharisees and tax collectors. Jesus met with Samaritan women and prostitutes. Jesus met with the rich and the poor. He loved the rich young ruler and the poor widow. He met with both the oppressed and the oppressor, and he forgave those who tortured and killed him. And he died for his enemies. That's how much he loved us. So when we talk about being rooted and grounded then in the love of Christ and being filled with the fullness of God, that's what we're talking about. All right? That kind of love. right? Because that's the only kind of love God has to offer us. We're not talking about a human love with limits or a human love that eventually breaks down or this finite or eventually fails. We're talking about a divine love that has heights and depths and breadth and length that we can't even begin to fathom. That's the love that God offers us today, friends. That is the love that He longs to fill us with today, friends, if we will simply empty ourselves, open our hearts, open our hands to Him. That is the first step in intertwining your life with Christ and with one another. Amen? All right, here's principle number two. After you self-empty, you be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so we talk about self-emptying, now we talk about Spirit-filling. After bowing your knee before the Father and emptying yourself of all your pride and all you hold dear, the Holy Spirit promises to fill you with His presence. He will not leave you empty, friends. He will not abandon you or forsake you or leave you, right? His promise is sure. He will strengthen you with power in your inner being. He will abide in you and He will go to work in you to do far more than you could ever ask or imagine. I mean, I don't know about you, but whatever hopes and dreams you may think you have, they simply can't hold a candle to the hopes and dreams that God has for you. All right? I mean, our hopes and dreams are limited by the horizons of this world. They're limited by the resources we're able to accumulate. They're limited by talent and ability. They're limited by the opportunities that we may or may not have. They are limited by our lack of courage and conviction. They are limited ultimately by our selfishness and our self-centeredness. I think of that famous story that Pastor John Piper preached so many years ago. It's a famous one. Maybe some of you have heard it about the seashells. Right, standing on a platform talking to 40,000 college students, a wet, cold, rainy day, the wind's blowing, blew away half his notes, so he's winging it, okay? And he tells this story. He says, don't waste your life. And he gives these two examples, and he says, you know, he had just come off a thing where they had just heard at his church that two of their missionaries over in Cameroon had been killed. Right, both women were in their 80s. Ruby Eliason was single all her life. She was a nurse. She had poured her life out for this one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places on earth. And she had been joined by one of her friends, Laura Edwards, who had been a doctor in the Twin Cities, and she had recently retired. She partnered up with Ruby, and there she was pushing 80 as well, and they're moving from village to village in this old rickety car when the brakes gave out and it went over a cliff. And they died instantly. And Piper asked the crowd, was that a tragedy? And his answer was, no. No, let me share with you what is tragic. And he picks up a Reader's Digest. And he shares this story from Reader's Digest. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. And now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect seashells. That's a tragedy, he told the crowd. And he said that there are many in this country who are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. That's the American dream. And he said, I get 40 minutes to plead with you. Don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you. He said, don't buy that dream. Don't let the last chapter before you stand before the Creator of the universe to give an account be, here it is, Lord, my seashell collection. My boat. My softball swing. You should see my batting average. Right? Don't waste your life. God wants to do far more than you could ever ask or imagine through you, friends. God has such hopes and dreams for you beyond what you can even begin to fathom. And the one who begins that good work in you promises to bring it to completion so you don't have to worry about it, friends. And what is that great work that God is doing? It's right here in this passage. He is filling you with the fullness of God. The fullness of God to strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, to give you the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of Christ. That's the love that knits us together, that interweaves and intertwines our lives together so we can not just survive in this world, but thrive. But that's what God wants for you. Amen? Yeah. All right, so self-emptying, Spirit-filling. Here's principle number three. Final principle from this text this morning, love overflowing. Love overflowing. The process of being rooted and grounded in Christ begins with self-emptying. And then as we make space for Christ, the Spirit begins to fill our hearts. And the more He fills us, the more His love begins to flow out from us. I think back to that phone call I got from my son, the one telling me he'd gotten into an accident, potentially putting car number 3 out of commission. It would have been so easy to lose my ever-loving mind. I was tempted. I think about those late, hard conversations with my sick child when I'm exhausted and cranky and all I want to do is go to bed. Or I think about how helpless I feel at times as a pastor, how inadequate to the task of walking alongside people through incredible hardship and suffering. Trust me when I say I have my moments when I think that boat sounds nice. Playing softball sounds nice. Collecting seashells, boy, that sounds like a plan, right? Like that would be great. Those feelings well up inside me. But then at the same time, I feel this love of God well up as well. Love for my son who had the worst week of his life. Love for my daughter who's mentally and emotionally and physically spent. Love for the families of our church who are carrying such heavy burdens. Love for our community, which is so divided right now and in need of God's grace. And friends, I got to tell you, trust me when I tell you, I am not capable of that kind of love myself. Right? It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. So for almost 30 years now, I have been trying to empty myself of Doug Ressler to make room for what all the Spirit wants to do in and through me for the sake of His glory. And guess what? He wants to do that same thing for you. This is not just for pastors, right? I mean, this is for the people of God. He's at work even now in this moment, intertwining His life with your life and intertwining our lives together so that we can do great things for the glory of the gospel in this world. That's what He wants, friends. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Man, what this world needs is the love of God. Amen? Yeah. And that love of God ain't going to come to the world unless it comes in and through us. And so we're going to finish singing one of my favorite songs, friends. It's How Deep the Father's Love Is for Us. And as we sing, I want you just to let the truth of these words wash over you. Let them fill you, let them assure you, let them comfort you, let them encourage you, let them inspire you, let them lead you and guide you. I mean, if you're here this morning, you don't think you're worthy of God's love, then this is one of those moments where you get to submit what you think and what you feel to the truth of God's word. He has declared you worthy. He has declared you righteous through Christ. Amen? And maybe you're out there and you think you are worthy. You think you've earned the love of God through all your hard work and through being a good person and all of that stuff. And guess what? This is one of those moments where you get to submit what you think and what you feel to the truth of God's word, the truth revealed in Jesus Christ. And that is this: it is by grace we've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. Friends, all God asks for us is for us to trust Him. Us to believe in His promises, to place our lives in His hands, to bow the knee before Him and just open our hearts and open our hands to Him and say, God, fill me with Your fullness that I might go out and share that fullness with those around me. You and I can't contain the love of God. We're too small, right? We're too finite. I mean, there's limits to us, and so it'll just flow right out of us. You won't even have to try if you'll just empty yourself and let the Spirit in. So let's do that today. Amen? Amen? Father, we give You thanks. What a glorious thing it is to know You and to love You and to trust You and believe in You, to lay our lives before You, to empty ourselves out before You, God, and to know that You have promised to fill us to overflowing. God, You have a great plan, and that is to reach this world with the love of Christ, and the church is Your plan. We are the vehicle through which this love flows, God, and so we just humble ourselves before You today. We ask, God, that You would do the work that only You can do inside us. Fill us with Your Spirit and Your strength and Your peace and Your love that we can go out and carry that gift to the world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. Hey, let's stand and sing. I think our fourth and fifth graders may be joining us as well. So let's stand and sing our final song together.